The topic today is unconditional love. Unconditional love. We'll talk about this. If you notice on in the notes there, I've got one that says unconditional love. The other one says a commandment. The other one says the ability to do the commandment. And then God blesses those that love him. As we work our way through the Word of God, ever so important. I tell you what, let's do. Why don't you all stand one more time, if you would, please. Just stand. We'll read Ephesians 4:30, and then go to the Lord in prayer one more time, and then we'll get started. Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. All right? You're sealed unto the day of redemption. Very, very important. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you at this time, we thank you, dear Lord, for mercy and grace. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for all that you've done. And now, Lord, we pray that you would bless this time that we have. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen and amen. You may be seated. There's an important part about making sure we love according to God's standards, not our standards. If we grieve the Holy Spirit of God, know this. If you are, or I or we grieve the Holy Spirit of God, everything else is lost. I mean, if we lose our prayer life, if we grieve the Holy Spirit, ain't nothing going to happen. Nope. We want to be very cautious about how we handle the Word of God and how we treat the Spirit of God. Amen. Now, as we go through these, we're going to start off talking about this unconditional love. Unconditional love is challenging. Now, let me start off by saying this. In a marriage, two people, that's one of the biggest lessons we can learn of unconditional love between her and me. Because there's not a perfect human in this building. Amen. And if there was, we'd mess them up. And so we find then that unconditional love, boy, it finds us loving the unlovable, doesn't it? And that's where the challenge comes in for you and me. It's hard at times for us to love the unlovable, isn't it? Well, listen, if it's a challenge to love one another when we're having them unlovable moments, just think how hard it is to love the unlovable outside of the home. Isn't that right? Let's look at the Word of God. Let's see what the Word of God has to tell us. Matthew 5:43 and Matthew 5:44. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. Well, we don't have to be told that. We do that naturally, don't we? But here's where the rub comes in. But I say unto you, Oh me. Amen. The minute he said that does nothing but challenge you and me beyond our emotions, our feelings, everything. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you. Yeah. I'm gonna classify that. That's not telling you to bless them out. telling you to bless them. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Now that's hard, isn't it? And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Now we can do that, can't we? Now we can do that, can't we? Amen? Amen. But it's the type of prayer we pray, isn't it? Oh, we pray for them, all right. May the fleas of 1,000 camels infest their armpits. You know? We pray for them, all right. I really don't think that's what the Lord meant. You know that? Amen. We need to pray for their souls, don't we?
Amen.
That's very important. You see, when we start talking about unconditional love, I've had this happen a few times to me. Not often, but I've a couple of times. This young fellow come to me and he said, I'm going to marry her. I said, yeah. I said, why are you going to marry her? Tell me. What is it? He said, she's beautiful. I said, okay. And she's smart. I said, okay. I said, she rich? He said, no, but I'll marry her anyway. He said, wait, think about it. I said, well, I don't think you ought to get married. He said, why? I said, well, you said you're marrying her for her beauty. And I said, what would you do if her beauty wasn't there no more? And you said you was going to marry her for her mind. What are you still going to love her when her mind didn't like that anymore?
Right.
I said, if you're going to marry her, you got to marry her for something that'll allow you with unconditional love to stay with her and her with you. I said, is she blind? He said, well, no. I said, oh. He said, why'd you ask? I said, well, she wanted to marry you, and I thought she hadn't seen you lately. Said, Lord, he was so ugly, he'd cause a freight train to take a dirt road. And you see, the fact of it is unconditional love. It's got to be unconditional love. And why? Because that's Christian love, isn't it? We've just got to keep on loving when we don't want to. Why? Because Christ said so.
Amen.
That's where it gets rough. Because some people keep you just like that, man. They keep you at an arm's length all the time. Right? Husbands do that to the wives. Wives do that to the husbands. Parents do that to the children. So on and so forth. But I say unto you, that's the Lord talking. That's God talking.
Amen.
And he's telling us something that we cannot do unless the Spirit of God lives within us. It's an impossibility for us to do that. But when God moves in, and the Spirit of God moves in, and the Word of God moves in, we'll find ourselves doing things we never thought we could do. And that's loving the unlovable.
Amen.
Mark 12:30. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And thou shalt love the Lord. That's Jesus talking, telling us where our love should be. We get up in Revelation chapter 2, one of the indictments against one of the churches. He said, thou hast left thy first love. In other words, you've left God. You've left Christ. If you've left your first love, you've left God and Christ. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. The first time I read that, whether it was in Matthew or Mark or Luke, I just remember the first time I ever read that. I sat there. It just tore me up. Because it said, love the Lord thy God with all your heart. Man, I bowed my head with tears dropping on the Bible. And I just said, I can't do that. It's just not in me with all my heart. God is going to take more than me to do that.
Amen.
With all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. In other words, when it comes to God, we need to have an all-consuming love. A love for God that consumes us. Now listen. One of the reasons I put those things in the bulletin because I wanted the last one that's in that bulletin. You see, love has a power that changes things for us. How we see it, how we do it, everything. It's like this lady that was married to a husband she hated. This guy had even written out, you know, you get out of bed at 5 o'clock. At 6 o'clock, we'll eat. You know, at 6:45, I'll do this and leave. You do this and this. And boy, for years, she lived under this tyrant. She hated him. Then he died. She was happy. Then the next guy she married a few years later, she absolutely loved. And she was sitting one day and opened a desk drawer, and there laid all of these instructions that the previous husband had for her. And she picked it up, and she read it. She sat there and started bawling like a baby. Because she said, just think, I was doing it then, and I hated him and this. And now, unbeknowing to what I'm doing, I'm still doing the same thing. But I love the man that I'm doing it for, and it's not a burden. And in her journal, she wrote, love made the difference between the burden and the blessing of it.
Amen.
You see, what we have here, our service to God, if we love the Lord, watch this, love thy God with all thy heart. If we love the Lord with all of our heart and all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength, guess what? When God asks us to do something for him, we'll do it with the greatest of ease.
Amen.
There'll be no hindrance to it. There'll be nothing to it. No, we'll do it. Why? Because we want to please him.
Amen.
We love him.
Amen.
And he's loved us.
Amen.
Just think about this. Christ died for us. The Bible says then that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Amen.
He loved us. It was an unconditional love that God the Son had for those that God the Father had given him.
Amen.
Boy, we talk about our unconditional love. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Amen.
And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Amen.
That's what you call unconditional love.
Amen.
Do you love him this morning? Listen, if you love him, you're going to be conscious. Remember, you got God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You're going to be very conscious about grieving the Spirit of God.
Right.
If you love him with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, just think, that is an all-consuming, unconditional love. Now listen to me. When I say that's an all-consuming, unconditional love, I'm saying this. There's no condition that you will put on God's call upon your life. There's no condition. You just know this. God loves you unconditionally. And if you love him with all, you'll put no conditions on his calling upon your life.
Amen.
You'll just have one thing that's focused and centered in your life. And that will just be this one thing. Here I am, Lord. Send me. Here I am, Lord. Use me. You be willing to become that living sacrifice for God. As we look into the Word of God, we realize that the Bible tells you and me, boy, to be that living sacrifice. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. Get it?
Amen.
Be not conformed to this world. Are you willing to be for? And to the image of Christ. Are you willing to be formed into the image of God's Son? Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Look, this verse says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy, what's that word? Mind. You see that? With all thy strength. When you and I get to the point to where we love God like that, your life will change because you will actually say, Lord, not my will but thine be done. The power of love means that there's no boundaries on your commitment to the one you love.
Amen.
And if it's God and you have a full, complete, consuming love for God, there's no boundaries to that. That's why you find some people, God speak, they go. The whole world says, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that.
Right.
I wouldn't do that. I don't expect the worldly Christian to do that.
Amen.
I don't expect the worldly Christian to do anything.
That's right.
Maybe they'll just get saved.
Yeah.
But the reality of it is this. An all-consuming love frees you. Listen. An all-consuming love for God frees you to love as God loves.
Amen.
And God loves with an unconditional love.
Amen.
Go to Mark 12:31. And the second is like namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbors thyself. There's no other commandment greater than these. So Mark 12:31, look at that. And the second is like this, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbors thyself. Do you do that? Is that a reality to you? Why, some people don't even know their neighbors' names, let alone being a witness or a testimony to them or loving them. Don't even know their names. Now we got this next thing we're going to start. John 15:17. Out there I've got in big letters, a commandment. John 15:17 says, these things I command you that ye love one another. Now he's talking to the disciples, isn't he? Do you realize, ladies and gentlemen, why is it that the people of God, like in this church right here, we have a commandment to love one another?
Amen.
It's not an option, it's a commandment.
Right.
This isn't a cafeteria style religion.
Amen.
The Lord's given us commandments.
Amen.
And look at this. These things I command you that ye love one another. It's interesting when you look at biblical love, because biblical love, first of all, starts off as an impossibility. But then we find that the Spirit of God makes it possible. But then we find, as it says here, these things I command you that ye love one another. And so what I find then, it's something that we must do. It's a commandment. Regardless, it's got to be unconditional love. You show me a pastor or a Christian worker that does not practice that principle, I'll show you somebody that's worthless in the pulpit or anywhere. Why? Because folks are folks. Flesh is flesh, isn't it? And so what I find then said that ye love one another. Man, some things in the Word of God, it's so easily stated, but so hard to do. So I find then that, like the next verse I've got right there, the ability to do the commandment. The Lord will give us the ability to do the commandment. Even with the ability, there's still this flesh we got to fight with. Our old ways, our old mindset. As one old fellow told me, he said, man, it was always, he said, I was raised by my daddy, and my daddy was this. If you done him wrong one time, he was finished with you for life. He said, there wasn't no reconciliation, no nothing. If you lied to him one time, that was it, done for life. If you stole, done for life, that was it, done. He said, but then daddy got saved. He said, the hardest thing for my dad to do was to forgive. Get this now. A lot of people forgive, but they never forget. Right? He said, the hardest thing for my daddy to do was to forgive, and he tried to forget. He said, he actually worked at it, just trying to forget things, just go on. He said, a lot of people he hadn't talked to in years, his brother, his sister, some of his relatives. You see, God's got to give us the ability. That's why salvation is so important. We're commanded to love one another. We wouldn't do that apart from that commandment. Look at this now, the ability, Romans 5:5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So like in the Sunday school class, there's some people we avoid. Isn't that right? That's what it said. There's some people we avoid. But guess what? That doesn't mean that we have to stop praying for them. We can still love their soul even though we cannot be in the company of their flesh. Did you hear me?
Amen.
There's a lot of people I don't want to be in company of.
Right.
Because if I'm in their company, I'd be thinking all kinds of crazy things, like choke them, hang them, feed them to the dogs,
right.
You know. Don't shoot them. Because that's a fast death, and we don't want them to die that quick, you know. Drown them, do something with them. But out of their presence, for me to avoid them, allows me to still love them, to love their soul, and to pray for them.
Amen.
Do I like Joe Biden? No, he's a scoundrel.
Right.
A rotten, dirty, rotten, lying, low-life scoundrel. I couldn't be in his presence. Or Kamala Harris, either one, whose dad was a card-carrying communist.
Right.
Like these people on CNN, cable, communist news network.
Yeah.
You know, lies, lies, and more lies. Do I want to be in their presence? No. But do I pray for their soul? Yes.
Amen.
Yes, I'd love for God to save some of those people.
Amen.
Boy, that'd throw a cog in the wheels, wouldn't it?
Sure would.
You see? To the glory of God. Listen, there's something in all of this that will allow us to do the impossible. Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. Church work is a spiritual work. Church work is a total impossibility to a human. When God called me to preach and teach the word of God, the first thing an old man did, he didn't point his finger at you like that. He always pointed his finger at you like that. And he said to me, he said, God's called you to do something, boy, you can't do. He said, if you grieve the Holy Spirit, don't go and preach. You're nothing but a hypocrite if you do. I find that to be true. The ministry, it's nothing. The whole thing from beginning to end is a miracle.
Amen.
I can sow, I can water, but man, God's got to be the one that saves the soul. God's got to be the one that changes the life. God's got to be the one that changes the mind. God's got to be the one to do it. So, brother, we better not be grieving the Spirit of God. Now watch this. Because the love of God is shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The Holy Spirit of God allows us to look at things differently. The Holy Ghost allows us, the Holy Spirit of God that dwells within us, allows us to see the soul, the eternal soul of a person, which allows us to pray. Ever so important, it allows us to pray. Wow. 1 Thessalonians 4:9. But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Guess what? Here we have the ability to do the commandment. What's the commandment? That ye love one another. How's that happen? God gives us of his Spirit to do it. Romans 5:5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. 1 Thessalonians 4:9. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Amen. You see that? We're taught of God. The saved, born again child of God is taught of God.
Amen.
To love one another. In other words, listen, to have the ability to love one another like we should, according to God's standards, it's got to be taught to us by God.
Amen.
When God teaches us that, boy, everything changes. When God teaches us that, we'll find out that we'll have compassion on one another, concern for one another, mercy for one another, long-suffering with one another.
Amen.
We'll be silent. Listen, if you want to kill a church, get everybody in the church talking about everybody in the church. You cannot love somebody that you talk about all the time. It's an impossibility. It's a human impossibility.
Right.
You can't love somebody that you just talk about all the time. That's the best way to say it. You might say, I don't have no respect for them. Fine. You might say, I don't like them. Fine. But God still says, you got to love them.
Right.
You got to love them. That's it. In their weakness, in their childishness. It's hard sometimes for a mature Christian to love a childish Christian.
Right.
Why? Because the only thing he sees is just stupid.
Right.
You know, 24/7 stupid.
Amen.
He said, well, man, when God first saved me, I wasn't that stupid. Let's take the clock back and see. Right? Let's back time up and find out what the truth is about this.
Amen.
Well, God knows the truth.
Right.
See, there's a reality to this. When we are taught of God to love one another, we will. When we're taught of God to one another, to love one another, it'll be an unconditional love.
Amen.
Now let me tell you how that works in a church, in a family. How does that work? Unconditional love within a church means this: I'm going to love you and expect nothing back.
Amen.
That's unconditional love. I'm going to love you and expect nothing back whatsoever. But if I get something back, well then praise God for that.
Amen.
That's it. In other words, I'm going to love you regardless. Unconditional love expects nothing back.
Amen.
It's unconditional love. In other words, if I expect something back, then I'm going to love you based upon the condition that you're going to love me back. But unconditional love has a totally different standard. Watch this now. Romans 12:9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Let love be without dissimulation. Well, that word dissimulation means simply to tear something apart. When, if you're gonna dissimulation means to disassemble. All right? Dissimulation. You're gonna tear it apart. Let love be without dissimulation. In other words, listen. True Christian love does not tear things apart.
Amen.
True Christian love doesn't tear relationships apart. True Christian love does not tear a church apart.
Amen.
True Christian love does not tear you apart.
Right.
It's love without. Let love be without dissimulation. In other words, it's not going to tear you apart. You're going to, watch what it says, abhor that which is evil. Boy, cleave to that which is good. True Christian love is not divisive. True Christian love is stable. True Christian love is considerate. True Christian love gives God the time to work on people.
Amen.
True Christian love allows the Spirit of God to mature people. True Christian love allows the Word of God to be used by the Spirit of God to mature people.
Amen.
True Christian love is not divisive. Ever so important.
Amen.
Watch this now. Romans 13:10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. In other words, when it says love worketh no ill to his neighbor, it means this. If I really love you, I'm going to be conscious of you. I'm going to be conscious of your feelings. I'm going to be conscious of your hurt. I'm going to be conscious of whether I offend you or not. I'm going to be conscious of you. I realize there's some people, man, they got a heart of gold and the hide of an alligator. I mean, man, they just, you can just run across them with a truck, and they just get up and say, man, that was rough. But there's other people. man, they just got baby skin and a soft little heart, and they just can't take it. I don't care what it is. When you walk up to them and say, you know, you're ugly, and they just want to go out and shoot themselves, you know, even though you're joking. You see, that's why, look what it says. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. You see, listen to me. A person that loves themselves, will always hurt others. A person that wants to try to protect themselves will always hurt others. People that are in self-love mode, buddy, they constantly hurt others.
Right.
What you have there is somebody that does not have the ability to love unconditionally. You might say, well, is that person saved? I would say no. Because a saved person is going to be conscious of things. A saved person will do something and actually repent of it. But a person that's all tied into self, listen, like I've said, never forget this. The person that just focuses on self will hurt others all the time. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. A truly born again person is going to be conscious of the influence they have on the people around them.
Right.
Born again. What a blessing. Saved. What a blessing. Blood washed. Born again. On the way to heaven. What a blessing. To pillow your head at night knowing that if you were to die, you'd go to be with the Lord.
Right.
1 Corinthians 2:9. God blesses those that love him. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him.
Amen.
When you read a verse like that, it makes you want to go back to like Mark 12:30. Thou shalt love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. And then you realize, my love to God is not in vain. But eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. There's a benefit in this. God is going to reward you that love him. God is going to, boy, he's going to love you, but he's going to, listen, loving God, it's unconditional in this life. It's payback. The Lord has loved me, saved me, and I'm going to love him back.
Amen.
But just think, God says, I'll take your life. I'll do it. God said, I'll do it. If you want to be a living sacrifice for me, I'll do it. I'll take it. Just keep on loving me, because the day is coming when I'm going to show you something that I hath not seen. I'm going to let you hear something that hearing has never heard. I'm going to let you see something that imagination has never even comprehended. And I'm going to prepare this specifically for those that love me. I want you all to know something. If you're sitting here right now and you really don't love the Lord, I just think about this. Would you trade 1 Corinthians 2:9 in for hell? That place where the fire's not quenched and the worm dieth not? You might say, what's heaven? Well, can't explain it to you because nobody's ever comprehended it even. Because God has prepared something for those that love him. If you're sitting here and you're one of those people that love the Lord, just think, can we humanly explain that verse? Absolutely not. Can't even come close to it. But I can tell you this. Without a doubt, for those of you that do love him, he's going to show you something. He's going to put you in a place. He's going to give you something that no eye has ever seen, no ear has ever heard, no imagination has ever imagined it. Now just think about that. He loves you. And your heavenly Father is going to do something for you one day. Amen. That is totally out of this universe. Amen. Think about it. You see, when you look at stuff like that, you realize, well, why don't I just love the Lord? Why don't I just love the Lord as best I can? Dear God, may the Holy Spirit just work in me and allow me to love you freely and love everybody else unconditionally. And God, may I just, with you, just have an unconditional love with you, God. And that way, if you say, go here, I go. If you say, go there, go. If you say, stand there, I'll stand right there. Whatever. But our unconditional love is going to be rewarded one day. And it's going to be a fabulous, fabulous reward. James 1:12. Let me show you something. You see, there's something about love that's ever so important. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Amen. Now listen to me. In the past weeks and so on, I get shocked at times. Tony Evans, some of you might have heard of him, listened to him on the radio. He's the black preacher on the radio, right? Well, come to find out, he's been having an affair with a woman for 20 years. They just found out he's got a 20-year-old daughter by another woman. So he's out of the ministry. Then last week, my goodness, you know, I'm sitting there looking, and all of a sudden, Brother Lawson's name comes up. And here this guy had an affair. And I'm thinking, wow, some of you folks here is listening to his sermons on the internet, on sermon audio. Gone. You see, here's the reality to it. they wouldn't be in that condition. Watch this now. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. In other words, temptation is something that we have to endure at times. But what gives us the strength to endure? For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Can you imagine this? I want you to know, let me talk to you just for a couple of moments about where's your value system at. The fact of it is, if you valued the crown of life, they wouldn't have done that. If they loved the Lord, like they say they did, they wouldn't have done that. Because they would have been conscious. No, I'm not doing this. Why? Because this is going to hurt my Lord. When he sees this, shake his head, no, 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 no. You see, ladies and gentlemen, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he's tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. In other words, the restraining thing in all of our lives is our love for God. And the reality, the eye of God sees everything. Amen. God sees everything you do. Amen. And by the way, God's the biggest blabbermouth in the universe. I mean, he cannot keep quiet when it comes to sin in your life. God tells it, it always comes out at some point. At some point, it always comes out. So you see, unconditional love for God has the power to allow us to love the unlovable. Unconditional love for God gives us the ability to love God at hard times as well as good times. Unconditional love means I love God though they tie me to a stake and burn me. Amen. Though I'm laying up at home with cancer eating my brain out. Amen. It makes no difference. I still love him. Amen. If this is God's will for my life, let it be.
Right.
The fact of it is, unconditional love simply means there's no condition to it. God, I'm just going to love you because of who you are and what you are. And then it says a commandment. I command you that you love one another. Listen, the best way for me to stay in the ministry is to love you unconditionally. And expect nothing back.
Amen.
If I get something back, praise God.
Amen.
But if not, praise God.
Amen.
But you see, my unconditional love for you allows me to live free from vengeance and anger.
Amen.
God said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. How do we turn all this garbage over to him? Well, when we do it because we have unconditional love.
Amen.
I don't have to worry about getting back at those that's been vile and mean to me. Don't have to. That's God's business.
Amen.
The only thing I need to strive to do is to try to love unconditionally.
Amen.
Now, when you get to that point, you'll be one of the freest humans on earth.
Amen.
I mean, when the Bible says, when the Lord sets you free, you're free indeed. In other words, you're freed from comparison, you're freed from anger, you're freed from hurt, you're freed from all of that. Why? Because it's an unconditional love.
Amen.
Unconditional love sets you free. You say, well, look at what he did. No, I'm not going to look at what he did. God was looking at what he did. God was looking at what she did. God was looking at what they did. God saw it. I've got one commandment. You know what that is? And that is this. I am commanded to love unconditionally. I'm not commanded to get even, get back, nothing. I'm commanded to avoid some, stay away from some, leave them alone. But I can still put their name on the prayer list and pray for them. But I am commanded to love unconditionally.
Amen.
You take that thought and live with it. You ask yourself, do I love the Lord like that with all my heart, all my mind, all my soul, all my strength? But the big question is this. Do I love God unconditionally? Not based upon the condition he answers my prayers. He does this for me and that. No, no, no. No, God might send you to the stake. Would you still love him then?
That's right.
See, our commandment's this. To love God with everything we've got. And then to love one another unconditionally. And when the Lord sets you free, you'll be free indeed. Amen? Let's all stand, if you would please, as we go to the Lord.